model GF, podcaster BF. And she says, what does that mean? And I just go, it's just, it's a compliment, but also a joke.
Apples have gotten so much better in the 35 short years that I've lived on this planet. Back when I was a kid, everyone was popping open their lunchbox. Granny Smith, Macintosh, Red Delicious. Kids these days don't know how lucky they got it. They'll beat your ass red if you come to school with a Fuji apple. That's like 10 times tastier than any apple that existed in 1991. We were creaming our jeans over Yellow Delicious or Golden Delicious. I was like, that's the best apple I've ever had in my life. You go back to the Golden Delicious now, if you can even find it, you'll probably have to go to a dollar store or something like that. You'll be like, what the hell is this? It's like they put sand in a balloon. Added a little like agave syrup or something. Can you guys just chill out? I'm not using a, you know what, fine. What about galas? I don't know what's up with the galas or the ambrosias or I don't really know what they're doing, but they're doing a great job. Keep it up. The jazz apple, I'll tell you one thing. It's a little different than a jazz cigarette. I found that one out the hard way. Pink Lady apples. Cosmic Crisp. I don't think I've ever had it. I just get whatever they have at Costco. What's your take on oranges? I love an orange. I love the flavor. They're very annoying to peel, which is why a mandarin orange is like kind of the superlative version, I would say. Like peeling an orange is it's not like, you know, working in the doo-doo factory, but it's an effort, you know? You either get your thumb under the skin or you get like a spoon out of the cabinet and then like run the spoon off. Everybody's trick to peeling an orange still has like a catch to it, right? I like an orange, but I like a mandarin orange more. You could slice them, but I mean, when I'm eating oranges, I slice them into quarters or eighth and then just eat them. But my wife likes the orange like peeled and then sectioned. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Are we not banana pilled? My banana consumption is high. It's troubling. I mean, it's like I eat a dozen bananas a week without a doubt. Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. Too much potassium? No, you guys are going to make me cyberbully, okay? All I'm saying is I can't see your faces right now. You can see my face. I can't see your faces. So you might think that when you say, bro, that's too much potassium, I'm imagining you at like Giga Chad or something like that. I hate to disabuse you of that notion, okay? You gotta put a face to a message as soon as you start giving nutrition advice. That's what I'm saying. Because on Twitter, I see it, and it's like the meme would be like the least healthy looking person you've ever seen. The body of the text is like, bro, that's too many bananas, okay? I'm not trying to get into trouble. I'm not trying to cause any problems. I'm just saying you got to argue from a position of strength. I think my potassium levels are totally fine. Two bananas? I weigh more than like a howler monkey. I'm pretty sure a howler monkey is consuming like 19 bananas a day or something like that. My body has been evolved over, you know, tens of millions of years of mammalian evolution to like buffer potassium. I think I'm gonna be fine. I have a friend who eats 6 bananas a day. All right, that's probably too many. Can you post what your friend looks like so I can get a glimpse of my future? Don't actually do that. I think we could get in a lot of trouble. Editor's note, this was satire. Potassium's great to reduce sodium. My thing is, like, everybody thinks sodium is, like, a huge problem. And I get that, like, if you eat too much of it, it can be. What I do to buffer the sodium is, like, I just consume an equivalent amount of chlorine. It takes the free sodium ions like straight out of the blood. Makes your chest hurt a little bit, your lungs too, depending on your method of ingestion. But it, as long as you keep those in a one-to-one balance, then you'll be in equilibrium for the rest of your life. Editor's note, this is satire. Please don't do this. Did I ever tell you about the time we came back to our university house from winter break, and whoever was last out of the house forgot to put the garbage out? Yikes. It was probably me. I can't say with certainty it was me, but that sounds like something that maybe I would do. Anyway, so we came back, you know, after like a week and a half, 2 weeks away, and the garbage can was infested with all stages of insect life. Live insects, like adult insects, maggots, slugs, eggs, etc., etc. So we said, well, we got to handle this. My housemate came down, you know, into the garbage can. Like, we took the bag out, bagged it up. In the garbage can, there was still just a ton of, like, it was like a terrarium in there. My housemate came down with, like, a bunch of household cleaners. And he poured, like, one of the cleaners into the garbage can to kill the bugs. And then he started to uncork the bleach. And I was like, buddy, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just going to pour like all of them into the garbage can just to make sure they're dead. And I'm like, you're going to create mustard gas. And he said, no. And I said, no, that's how you do it, is you just combine like every household cleaner. And he said, oh, okay, I didn't know. And that's the story of how I saved all of our lives. That's the end of it. There's no like, I don't know what the resolution could possibly be after that, but... or at the very least, all of our lungs. Also, what's crazy? A lot of people will hear that story and be like, that kid was dumb. He's actually not. He's like one of the smartest guys I've ever met in my entire life. Now, the scary part is that he was an engineer. So he probably should have learned this at some point. But this should, I think it's a stupid response to that story to be like, he's dumb. That would never happen to me. The smart response to that story is that everybody has blind spots, and that's why you need checklists and fail safes and like other people to check your work and stuff like that. Like the billionaires in the sub? That's what I'm saying. I think that it's dangerous to be too smart without being the smartest person that's ever lived. Like, I think there's like, it's, if you'll allow me to use my education here, I think it's a bit like a Punnett square, okay? And one axis is like smart dumb, and the other axis is smart dumb. Being 100% smart is great, full stop. Being 100% dumb is really bad, because you're not smart. And you're probably too dumb to trust the smart people. Now, the other two corners are where it gets tricky. I think it's good to be dumb smart. That's where I would put myself to be. I don't think I'm that intelligent necessarily. You could argue maybe verbal intelligence, sure. I'm not trying to insult myself. I'm just saying academically, I'm not that smart. Maybe I have good reasoning and self-awareness. But like, okay, you can keep the compliments coming. But I think I'm dumb smart. I'm dumb, but I'm smart enough to trust the people who are actually smart. That's like a light win, in my opinion. Probably not as good as being smart smart. But smart dumb is the danger zone. That's where you're smart, smarter than the average person, but too dumb to realize that that intelligence doesn't extend to every domain in the world. That's the scary part, where you're like, I'm a good chemical engineer, so I'm like a better driver than the average person. I'm a better chef than the average person. I'm better at building a Titanic exploring submarine than the average person. I think that's where you get yourself into trouble. At some point in your life, I think it would behoove you to figure out whether you're smart smart, in which case keep on keeping on, smart dumb, which is, I think, the danger zone, or dumb smart. Now, if you're dumb, I don't really know what to do with that, okay? That's something that's between you and God, all right? But I think there's a lot of people out there who are smart dumb who would be doing a lot better if they gave themselves over to dumb smart. That's just my hypothesis, though, as a dumb guy. I'm either dumb smart or smart dumb. Did you get the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine? Hang on, I'm cooking. Yes. You're dumb smart. Congrats. Welcome to the club. Yes, they made me. Okay, follow-up question. Who's they? Is they your parents or the school, or is it a cabal of shadowy global elites? Parents? Okay, you can still be dumb smart. Join the club, bro. It's fine. I mean, they made me get the MMR vaccine, too. I'm glad they did. Because I'm pretty sure the MMR vaccine was invented by the smart smarts. Unfortunately, I think I'm smart dumb. You can work to change it. You know, one of the best ways to switch from smart dumb, which I definitely was, to dumb smart, which is when you recognize that you're not the smartest person in the world, is to live with other people. Who, like, when you do something the way you've done it your whole life, Mr. Smart Guy will be like, why are you doing it like that, dummy? Why don't you do it like this? That's 10 times more efficient and, like, better. And you'll be like, no, I like my way. And then you'll think about it for a second and you'll be like, nah, they're right. I should do it that way. Gus Fring was smart. Okay, true. Walter White was smart dumb. Very true. Jesse Pinkman was dumb smart. Okay, I got to think about that one. Jesse Pinkman was dumb smart. By the end, maybe Jesse Pinkman was dumb smart. By the way, I think you're smart for putting this into a Breaking Bad political compass so that it's more digestible by those of us out here who are either dumb or dumb smart. So I'm elevating you to smart from whatever category you were previously in. Marie was smart. Hank's wife? How smart could she be, bro? She was stealing all those little spoons. She was dumb. I don't think she's dumb. I don't think she does anything where I would be like who's dumb? I feel like Tuco Salamanca. I feel like Tuco Salamanca is kind of dumb. He was reckless, but he thought that he was a legend. No, that's smart dumb. I'm too dumb smart to keep my damn metaphor straight. It's all falling apart. Anyway, I think we got to where we were trying to get. The metaphor kind of fell apart a little bit, but I think about that all the time. You know what really makes me think about that? Apologies, it's self-caricature, but it's the truth. I think about that on Disney cruises all the time, whenever there's a line for something. And then people start to say things like, why would they do it like this? They should really just do it like this instead. And I'm like, really? You think like you've literally been here for a minute and these people have been in the business for 30 years and you think you've solved all their problems? Like, you don't think they considered the variables that are presenting themselves? You think they were just like, let's do it in the dumbest way possible. But then they whip themselves into a frenzy. You get too many smart dumbs around each other. They're like, I know, that's what I've been saying. Two idiots can have the same opinion. It happens all the time, bro. I'm sure if you actually brought it up to the staff, well, the staff would probably be like, yes, sir, we're sorry, we'll consider it. But in like the back rooms, Monka S, they'll be like, yeah, another day, another person told me how to like reinvent the process that we've reinvented 1,000 times into the most optimized form. Explain airline seating then? What's the problem with airline seating? I don't know, I always hear people say like they should board the plane front to back. And I'm like, that's what we do. Like, when was the last time you were on an airplane, bro? Or sorry, back to front. I was thinking of how to wipe yourself after you go to the bathroom. They do front to back on the plane? No, they do first class, military, people with small children, and then in economy, they do back to front. They do front to back. You guys got to fly with Air Canada. Star Alliance's number one North American carrier for 11 years running. I'm not flying with that tin can airline. Bro, what do you think? They fly 787s, bro. Tin can air. Oh, let me guess. You're an Airbus stan. Let me guess. Your government paid for you to go to school. Quit bragging, bro. Also, I know this is kind of, it flies, pun unintended, unfortunately, in the face of the way that I normally talk. But, you know, take it from an old head. A number of things while flying, could it be done better? Or not even better, but like more efficiently? Probably. But at the end of the day, the number one thing that would probably benefit most passengers when air traveling is just chilling the fuck out a little bit. Like, it's always, there's going to be elements of it that always suck, okay? You got 200 people that are basically all getting on a bus with five suitcases each. Like, you're going to bump into people. There's going to be friction. There's going to be a limited amount of space. You can't control the processes of the airline. All you can control to some extent is like your blood pressure during the process. Like, you're going to arrive probably within 10 or 15 minutes of the time that it says on the ticket. You're all going to get there at the same time. You're going to get to your hotel. Just chill out, like do a little goose fraba. I know it's like there's the impulse, right? It's like, because I feel it myself. But it should be like this. It should really be like this. Instead, we could all save 3 minutes total. It's okay. You know, you're right, but you're only punishing yourself. You know, you're driving yourself into an early grave by your discontentment, you know? And you're probably, listen, we all know, you get to the gate, you spot somebody, you're like, this person's going to be the most annoying person on the flight. We all know that 98% of the people on the flight zero in on that person immediately. You're like, this is the squeaky wheel. I'm going to stay away. Me looking at a baby. Me looking at the dude with enormous over-the-ear noise-canceling headphones and a Neon Genesis Evangelion shirt. Sorry. Two can play that game as long as we're going to get into personal attacks. The guy who wears a shirt that says, these headphones are better than AirPods, plus they don't cost $1,000. No disrespect or whatever. How would the headphone guy be annoying? Because every time he sees a baby, he looks like this. Plus he's farting and he thinks nobody can hear him. But it's actually just because his noise-canceling headphones are so good. They're actually better than AirPods and they don't cost $1,000. But apart from the one person or like the one family who's causing all the problems, everybody is annoying everybody else. The people who are annoying you are also being annoyed by you. And I know you're like, no. I'm like self-aware and I stay out of people's way. I like to think that too, but I think it's a little naive, you know? Like when I'm in a hurry and I'm walking and someone doesn't shoulder check and they kind of bump into me while I'm moving by, in my head, I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. And then they're like, oh, sorry. And I'm like, yeah, you better be sorry. Sorry, like you exist and got in my way. But then whenever I'm walking leisurely and someone's like rushing by me and they bump into me, I'm like, oh, sorry. And then I'm like, what's the hurry, Turbo? We're both going to the same gate. Like, what do you rush there as fast as possible? Like, just to get in line? What are we doing? Like, no matter what, I'm always the good guy, at least in the moment. Later, I'm like, okay, maybe that's my fault. That's healthy, though? No, I know, but that's why I'm saying, instead of being like, everybody on this flight is annoying and it's the airline's fault, you should just recognize that anytime you come in contact with a large group of other people, especially with strangers, you know, you don't have like the rapport with them that you have with your friends where you cut them a little bit of slack. Instead, you assume the worst in them. You know, it would always, in almost every situation, it would behoove most of us to just chill out a little bit. Easier said than done, but there are a couple of things though. I do wish people would stop lining up when they're clearly zone five Andes and they call like zone one, or sorry, group one. That's very, like the plane, dead ass, it's not going to leave without you. You know why it's not going to leave without you? Because of 9/11, bro. They literally will not leave a passenger behind if their luggage is on the airplane. They'll call for you like 1,000 times because they're worried you pack some shit in there that's going to cause problems. There's no way they're going to be like, sorry, we closed the door already. Like, you can't get on. Like, it's, unless you're late, in which case that's your problem, but you don't need to be in line. You should be like run, run, Rudolphing, like Home Alone 1. And you don't need to stand up when the plane lands. Maybe your legs are a little bit cramped up, but I'm telling you, you're compromising your neck, which is much more delicate, in order to like give your legs a moment's rest. But mostly, like, well, it is tragedy of the commons. I get it. People want to get the overhead space. They want to board as early as possible. Imagine standing in the aisle, though. It's just annoying. I mean, if we just... I feel like you just sit down. We could get... I feel like a lot of people don't realize... This one is not a natural impulse I've had to fight. This one, I've always felt this way. If everybody does, like, what they're told, the flow goes so much better. Where things become a problem every time is, like, if one person does the prisoner's dilemma, where they're like, if I stand up early, I might be able to get out 15 seconds early, and everyone behind me will take an extra minute to get off, but, like, that's not my problem. If everybody just sat down and then they... You know, like when the people in front of you deplaned, you stood up and opened the overhead compartment and grabbed your stuff. Like the total aggregate time to get off the airplane would probably be lower. Someone on my flight paced the aisle for 10 minutes while I was trying to sleep. Any thoughts? Listen, I know we as predominantly young people don't want to hear it, but that person's probably trying to avoid getting deep vein thrombosis, okay? It sucks, because, like, sleep's important as well, and there's not much else to do on the flight, but they've got to accept they're probably trying to avoid, you know, having a stroke 12 hours after they land. People do, I mean, they sometimes lose their entire sense of, what? Explosivo. It's the name of the song, Explosivo. Don't know what it's about, but it's good to go. I remember I was on a flight one time, and an old man pulled out his electric razor in his seat and started shaving, which is just, to me, is insanity. Like, even if it's got one of those hair catchers, man, the hair is getting fucking everywhere. Like, that's psychotic. Or, like, clipping your toenails while you're on the flight, that's crazy, too. What about the guy who cooks in the airplane bathroom? No, I say this without a hint of irony. The dude who's doing the cooking in the airplane bathroom on TikTok, he shouldn't go to prison, but he should be banned from flying on any airline for the rest of his life. Like, it's kind of funny, but at the same time, I'm like, bro, I gotta piss. Like, I could you just do your TikTok content someplace else? Like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I gotta do in the bathroom, like, what I'm designed to do in the bathroom. Or what the bathroom's designed for me to do in the bathroom. Put him in the luggage hold? I mean, that shit is just crazy. Now, the one of the video of the dude smoking a bowl and chugging a beer and then releasing the smoke from the bowl, and then the zooms out and reveals that he's in one of those, like, IKEA prefab rooms inside of the store. That's cool as hell. He probably should be banned from IKEA by the corporation, but, like, he's not, in my opinion at least, he's not harming anybody, societally speaking. People will be like, oh, like, I have my kid here. Like, your kid is 15 years old. They're seeing worse than that, and they're going to be, like, in undergrad in 2 years anyway. Like, I wouldn't worry about it too much. He should cook in the IKEA kitchen. Yeah, now, see? And people give King Solomon a bad name. Talked about it a lot before, but it genuinely pisses me off. Those videos of, like, someone in their seat will take a video and be like, the people beside me are having sex right now, or the people in the row behind me are having sex. That shit pisses me off. people always assume it's like, oh, you're jealous? I'm like, no, I'm not jealous. It's just fucking weird ass behavior. You've made me part of your sex and I'm just like going to work right now. Or like I'm going to see like my family. Like I'm not even going to say you have to do it when you get home. Like, I'm not saying like hide that behind closed doors, but like, don't make me a part of it, man. And also, if you're going to be stealthy when you do it, be so stealthy that I don't know clearly that you're doing it. Because it's like one of the most annoying feelings, and it's something I got to search within myself to figure out why it bothers me so much, is when someone thinks they're getting away with something by being sneaky, and they're like obviously not sneaky at all. The reason that people aren't busting them is mostly because they're just embarrassed, rather than like, you know, oh, we don't see what's happening. Like, everybody sees what's happening. They just don't want to be the person that has to come up to like two middle-aged weirdos and be like, can you not have sex in row J or whatever? It's like, when if you're like 17 and you're drinking alcohol at the movie theater, nobody's busting you. It's not because like you're sneaky, because you're not sneaky. The bottles are clanging around. You're like laughing inappropriately. And then your friend is going, shh. It's just because nobody cares, man. So just like enjoy yourself. Most of the adults in the theater are drunk too. They're just, you know, they're holding their shit together. Adults should know, man. Adults should know better. It's fun to be secret, though? Nah, man. Well, I mean, like, maybe. I don't know. It's not my thing. It's just annoying for the other people, though. Like, you might think you're being, like, a rebel. You're actually just kind of being, like, irritating. I don't know if, like, the people that are into that, if part of it for them is that they're, like, you know, like, oh, other people are going to be offended by this. Like, this is taboo. It's, like, it's not really taboo. Anyone could just whip it out and start going to town whenever. Like, you know what it is? I sort of, when I see, and I've never seen it in real life, but when I see two adults who are clearly, like, intoxicated in a viral video entering the Mile High Club thinking nobody can see them, that's the same way I think I would feel if a dude just whipped out his penis and started masturbating in public. Like, for some reason, for a subset of the population, like, one of them is like, ooh, that's like sneaky and like a little cool. And the other one is like, put this freak on the sex offenders registry. And I'm like, nah, man, put all three of them on the sex offenders registry. All three of them are fucking weirdos, bro. Get them all out of here. And take the people off the registry who were just urinating in public. That's not the spirit of the law. It doesn't make sense. Time machine mod, PC gamers, when the time machine gets invented. Yeah, the time machine's a little buggy out of the box. Here's the mod list you need in order to go back and see the dinosaurs. The time machine programmers really didn't know what they were doing. First, you're gonna need this mod. This mod serves as a harness so all the other mods can actually connect to the time machine. Then you need a Call of Duty Big Naturals mod, obviously. This one makes all the dinosaurs have the voice of someone who's also in the Discord call with you. This one lets you remote warm up the time machine so you don't actually have to get in it in case of emergencies. Anyway, that's all I got. I can't believe we lived, bro. Sheesh.